And now, your local forecast.
Here we go. Season 2 of The Forecast in the new studio. Welcome back. How are you, Chief Street?
I'm doing great, man.
Good to have you here. We're back in action, back to normality.
What an occasion. Look at this place.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't actually finished setting up our studio. As you're going to see, audience, it's going to be a progression. We're going to do some shopping in a few weeks' time and build a set and make it all cool. But for now, this is it. This is the new studio.
Man, it feels so professional. A little bit over the top for us, just chit-chatting.
It's way over the top.
But quality stuff.
A quick shout-out to everybody that sent lovely messages at the end of last season. Thank you very much. Life's good. Everything's back to normal. We're just pumped. We've got some cool ideas moving forward, don't we?
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see what the future takes us. I think to finish the year, it's going to be pretty strong. We had to dip out for a bit, but we're full steam ahead now.
Got an idea.
What's that?
Let's do a giveaway.
I love it.
Right?
Give back to the community.
Sort of winging this because I don't have a prop with me right now, but we've got some USBs from our friends Ableton. So they're just blank USBs. What Chief and I want to do is we want to put some unreleased music or some remixes, a few other goodies, a few other surprises, maybe some samples. Mm-hmm. All right. So what you need to do, you need to comment either on YouTube or send us a DM on Instagram, right? Mm-hmm. The handle is The Forecast Podcast.
Yes.
Right? And just say 420.
All right. I like that. As if we're like some stoner podcast or something.
Not at all. That's it. Numbers only?
Yeah.
Yep.
So and, first two?
First two. We'll give away two USBs.
I reckon we'll do it again, assuming someone comments something and we have more to give away. So exactly. Hopefully someone wants them.
This is the start. We'll get to Mr. Beast level eventually where we're giving away jets and stuff.
$10,000 cash.
Yeah, we'll give away cash and merchandise and whatever, but to start off with, it's a free USB. We'll ship it out to you. All you have to do, like I said, comment on the YouTube channel or send us a direct message.
The numbers, 420. Also, I assume you've subscribed or followed us.
You better. So
that needs to be a thing.
Done. All right, moving on.
Comment, a like, and a subscribe.
We have some exciting news, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. We need to have a huge congratulations to Chief Street and Donna, if you're tuning in. Mate, engaged.
Yeah, that's it.
Woohoo!
Hey, I'm going to applaud myself. Nah, mate, it's been great.
Unreal.
Yeah.
No, how exciting.
I'm so stoked, man.
Congratulations. So
that was all happening in the midst of the break and that, so I haven't really had a chance to talk about it here. But yeah, I'm over the moon, man. We've been so happy the past few weeks and going to see our family next week.
Yep.
So it's all happening.
Fantastic, mate. How do you feel? Does it feel different?
Yes and no. Like it definitely was a bit of a like, not a shock, but I was like, okay, this is happening. I'm doing this. But not a lot's changed. We were really transparent throughout the whole thing. So it wasn't like this massive surprise. We had known like this is what we want to do and we went ring shopping together. So she knew like this is going to happen. It was just more of a matter of when.
How good.
And trying to do it as a bit of a surprise, which I kind of managed to do.
Yep.
It was a pretty funny story. So like, I was trying to figure out, I wanted to do it at home. I'm not a big public person. I'm not someone, if I said, like, let's go to the beach, she'd be like, why are we going to the beach? You know, like it's stuff like that would stand out because it's just different and something I would never do, even though it'd be really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, okay, I want to do it at home, but how do I get her like out of the house?
Mm.
So anyway, the week came along and I decided, all right, this Friday, weather's beautiful this weekend. We've got nothing to do. I reckon this is the time. And so I was trying to think, how can I get her out of the house on Friday? I worked at home. She went to work in the city. Man, I couldn't get her to stay out. I just could not. I wanted to do it at night.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go out, have dinner, come back. House is all set up. And anyway, I could not get her out of the house. I tried. I was like, let's get a massage. And she's like, yeah, that sounds good. And then I was like, oh, the sessions are a bit late. What about you just go get a massage? And she was like, what? She's like, why? What?
This is weird.
So what I did is on Friday, when I worked from home because there wasn't a lot of work being done. I was quite nervous and I was running around during the afternoon getting stuff and getting the flowers and the balloons pumped up and stuff like that. Basically, I got everything ready, had it all planned out, you know me, and I started hiding things throughout the house where I would need them to be able to pull them out quickly.
Nice.
So the plan was, I'd say I booked dinner, said we're going out, and then when we got in the car, we came out of the house, I shut the garage door and I said, I forgot my phone.
Oh, yeah, because you'd forget your phone.
I've never forgotten my phone in my life. Dude, I never would. It's right
here. That is so not believable.
I know. Anyway, it's all I could think of. And I left her in the car and I went back in
the
house.
She knew straight away. She knew. As soon as you said, I forgot my phone, she was like, oh, it's going to happen tonight.
Locked the door behind me and then I raced upstairs and started pulling all this stuff down. So I had balloons in the bathroom. I had flowers downstairs hidden. I had more like balloons in a suitcase so I could carry them all at once from upstairs to downstairs.
How long do you reckon you left Donna waiting in the car?
Too long. It was so obvious. Luckily, like, I should have said,
I need to use the toilet.
That's the one.
But and taken your phone. Yeah. Because then they would have full expected you to take half an hour.
Yeah. They wouldn't have raised that much suspicion. Mm. But I think, and then I got back. So I managed to pull it off probably within 5 minutes, but still too long to be like, I'm finding my phone.
Mm.
I came back. It was still pretty unsuspectable because just the circumstances and the way the house looked at the end of it, I was pretty impressed with myself.
Well done. So Donna didn't say when you got back in the car.
She was just like, what happened? She was like, I was about to come in. I was like, oh, I couldn't find it.
Where did you find it?
Yeah, it was upstairs in the spare room when I got changed. I left it in there.
What's your phone doing?
Oh, because I was getting changed in that room.
Why were you getting changed? Anyway, who cares?
To go out to dinner, but you know. Anyway, so we went out for dinner. We came back and then when she opened the door, everything was set up. The lights were on.
She said yes.
Yes, yes. Thank God. And that's the story about how I got engaged a few weeks ago. So yeah.
Well done, mate.
Thanks, man. I'm growing up. It's scary.
I know. We're getting old.
Yeah.
And just to the music industry, that doesn't mean we don't want to play shows.
No, not at all. But yeah, that's 30 next year as well. So it's all happening.
Am I coming in your 30s?
Yeah, yeah. We're on a boat. Remember? We're going cruising. And you can definitely come along. So yeah, that was a great week. And then we had an awesome weekend.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it was beautiful, man.
Great stuff.
Very, very pleased.
So what's on the episode today?
I'm going to tell you a bit more about what I got up to when you were away.
We haven't really caught up.
Nah, not at all. And then we're going to talk about the Sphere, the Las Vegas Sphere.
That thing is my dream gig right now.
Oh, it looks unreal. I thought it was like a novelty and then I realized what they're actually doing inside of it.
Yeah, I thought it was just external. I didn't realize it was internal. So we'll get to that.
We're going to touch on Katy Perry selling her whole catalog of music.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, I think that's just interesting. I just want to talk about the value of the music if it was appropriate.
$50.
Nah, a lot more than that. And then after that, I've got another food thing for you to try.
Damn, it's all happening.
So action-packed.
All right, so tell me what... In the time that I haven't seen you, what's been going on?
Bro, it's hard to compare. Obviously, you were going through it far worse ways. But at the same time, in my creative funnel of life, I was struggling, man. Not being able to come here every week was hurting me.
You had the keys.
I know, but I had no bookings.
Really?
I had a couple, but very spotty. I didn't have the podcast to come in and keep me engaged. So I was spending some time at home. You were MIA, completely understandable. So
weird when you can't chat to your mate.
Yeah, our connection had dropped off.
Yeah.
All of this is obviously very much acceptable and understandable. But yeah, so that had dropped off. We weren't posting new episodes. I had cleared out the bank of all these clips that we had from old episodes and that, at least to the quality we want them. So I was running out of just drive. I haven't had any drive or motivation to really release stuff as chief at the moment. I just haven't had the energy to care about social media, which I'm sure you understand. So everything was just kind of coming down. But just when I thought everything was over, the past 3 weeks has been just awesome.
Yeah.
My bookings have just been on fire recently. Yep. I'm sure you know every other week I'm like, okay, I need it this. So that's been awesome. I've been busy and tired because of it.
You're about to get a lot busier too because I'm palming you heaps of clients. Well,
that's fine. I'm really happy with the balance I've got at the moment. So... Yeah, I'll finish up today and go away for a couple of weeks and then I come back and I reckon I've already got two sessions when I'm back. So I'm really, really happy with how things have gone. But there was just that, I think all artists could totally relate to those dips that you get throughout. And it's just funny how when you think things are all over and I was like, you know what, there's just not going to be much of a future here. I was even not enjoying some of the work. You know what I mean?
I totally get what you're saying.
Just sometimes it's hard being creative. It's easier for me to just go to work sometimes. And just have some responsibility, but I'm not battling myself for am I earning money today? Am I fulfilling myself? Am I creating something? If you're not doing anything, I I'm someone who needs to have some output to be
totally
to feel good about myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just thought, oh man, I don't know how long I can keep this up, which happens a lot of times. But yeah, we bounced back. Had a lot of bookings, like I said. So that's been really good to keep me busy.
Weather's been amazing.
The weather's picked up, and I spent a good couple of days rebooting my Ableton up to 11, which has been awesome. It was
actually
really
fun. I haven't
done
that, obviously, because I haven't been here.
Well,
tell me what's 11 like.
Good news for you is that I'll just give you everything I've done, which means.
Did you have to configure some stuff?
No, basically, you'll just open Ableton 11 and it'll pretty much take over 10 and put all your plugins and stuff. It'll all just run normally. Mm-hmm. But then I'll tell you what Max for Live devices to download, like a couple of time-saving.
Do you want to tell the audience?
Quality of life stuff.
Do you want to put a link in the description for all our Ableton?
I'll have to try and think about. Maybe I'll put them on a USB or something.
Done. Whoever wins this competition is going to get some cool stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Because I can't remember them off the top of my head. I've only had them for a few days. I actually only did this recently. So I downloaded all them. I went through all my samples and you know how you get the categories on the side and I renamed everything, made sure everything's in its right, like, you know, racks, like plugins, Max for Live devices, Chief Street Sounds, sample packs, all this stuff. So I'm trying to optimize my workflow at the moment.
Nice.
Things for you to look forward to, the Max for Live devices I've got. So lots of shortcut quality of life stuff. So there's obviously the comping, which I think is going to be huge for us when we record people. Yeah. Just all we have to do is press record and let them just sing their heart out. And then you just go through and you can just select the portions of their takes.
Wow.
So I reckon I haven't practiced it with the client yet, but I think what you'll do is you establish the loop that you're trying to get and just tell them, sing this 5 times. And you just solo through, highlight what you want, and it'll automatically go on the final take up the top.
Wow. That's very Logic Pro Tools world.
So that's going to be awesome. The other tools I've got is shortcuts for doing gain. Like, you know how usually if you have a clip, you have to like double click it or it's shift and control or whatever. And you go to like, they get the warp, the gain and the transposing and stuff. That's all. I've got a shortcut for that. You just press it like 3 or you map the key. A little pop-up comes up and then you can just automate all that. Got sidechain stuff, cool racks. It's been awesome. I'm really excited to actually start using it now. And then I put like a cool skin on it. So, and what you can do is you just download the template. And so I'll just give you my template.
Oh, nice. If you're not repping the disco template in Ableton.
Disco? Have I missed out on something? Because I saw like, is it just like the color schemes?
Yeah.
Because there's like mid, dark, dark, light, classic. I didn't see no disco.
Dark is disco.
Right. Well, I have a weird thing about the dark mode. I don't really, like I like it, but I don't like white text.
We can't be friends.
Yeah, I know. I know that's so picky.
No, it's what you get used to. I've just been in so many dark environments now that I have to have it all dark.
So yeah, I'm just excited to like actually use it in a session and start to really, I think it's going to save a lot of time. I think it's going to make our recording sessions way better and way easier.
Anyway, stay tuned on that because I'm only just starting to get back into Nick music again.
Yeah, well, I've got something I need you to master for me.
Whee!
And that's a remix.
Yep.
I will put it on the USB.
Done.
Well, you'll get an averagely mastered version of it, but you'll have it probably before anyone else. So,
all right. If any of you listening make music and you want me to master your song for free, comment either on YouTube or in our direct message on the Forecast Podcast, MSTR, all capitals, because that's how I write. I've mastered a track. I put MSTR on the end and I will do one on the house.
Huge.
Only one winner.
Congratulations to that person. I'll keep an eye on the gram. You keep an eye on the YouTubes. Done. It's a good one. I like that. The Easter egg in the middle of the podcast. Only the real ones.
Only the real, only people that actually listen and watch us are going to get the benefits of listening and watching.
It's killer.
There you go. I'm going to master your song. It's going to be a banger.
Yeah, I like it. Well, you can do mine first maybe. But, I'm pumped to try and release some music soon. We'll see what happens.
We'll get there. All right. What about the Sphere going on in Vegas? What's this all about?
Well, have you seen it?
It's incredible. I saw that you two were the first band to use it or whatever. I come from a very visual background, right? So all the nightclubs and the venues that I used to play originally with the whole Launchpad thing, they had to have like minimum requirements of super screens.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So that we could have a GoPro looking down on my hands and whatever and that it would projection, well, there would be a projection of my hands playing. Imagine the Sphere.
Dude. the size of that thing. So I, for so long, just thought it was this like advertising tool for the outside and it was just going to look cool. But I didn't realize what was going on inside it. Mm. And then I heard of the show and then I saw the pic, like the videos. And I was like, dude, that looks unreal. So it took, it cost $2.3 billion to build.
$2.3 billion.
Yeah.
Billion.
Yeah, but dude, they'll make it back. Do you know why? Do you know how much it costs to advertise on that thing?
$2.3 billion.
Yeah. Look, it's like a stadium, man. That stuff costs billions now. It's so high-tech, state-of-the-art stuff, you know. Like, they're not just basic buildings anymore.
Billion.
Yeah, man. So it's $450K a day to advertise on there. Or if you want the week package, $650. Which is obviously the what you do.
Gee, that's all right.
Yeah. We'll go to the bug. Well, that's what, it's that classic like leveraging you up. $650
That's
for
actually
a week.
Not that much because it's like $100K for a week on a super yacht. So what's $650,000 to advertise your business on the biggest, most talked about visual thing in the world right now?
But what a tool to like make your money back. It's like the whole building is an app. Like there's not many, you can't, a tower doesn't have that appeal. You can't. Project advertisements, you can do billboards or something like that, but you don't get this entire screen of real estate. So I think they're going to make their money back pretty quick. Plus all the gigs, like the shows. I assume it's going to be really expensive to get there, especially for the first few years. Like people are going to be like battling to get in there because every show that's going to be like incredible.
Goals.
So
Chief and I are going to play the Sphere.
Oh, I wish. It's got 160,000 speakers. It's got
Hang on.
Almost.
Sorry.
Well,
what?
Yeah.
Mate, just.
Well, I don't know. 160K speakers. It couldn't be cost.
No. Yeah, 160. Because I was thinking too, where do you put speakers? They must be.
Well, I've got a visual of the Sphere and the inside, and maybe you can cut this in.
Okay.
But see how it's like. See the layout? Yeah. So the one back end is just like points of entry. Anyway,
it's like an onion. It has layers.
That's a great way to put it. So yeah, almost 300 million pixels in there. And then I think the, so it's the largest LED screen, 160,000 square feet. When U2 did their show, it was 12K. And then this second show that might have already happened at the moment is going to be 18K.
18K what?
Video, I guess. Like it's going to be just that high quality.
Whoa, I didn't know you
resolution.
Could do that.
Yeah. It's going to be like state of the art. The project was filmed on every continent and there is a half petabyte, so 500,000 gigabytes of data.
Wow.
So like the scale on these shows is just going to be intense. But I reckon it's just going to become such a like a hub for a, like a special show. Like think about the first time bands or artists perform at this type of stuff. It's going to be
this
like…
This is like the original Woodstock, right? Where, you know, we're seeing… The biggest crowds, the biggest stage ever, and now this is the modern equivalent.
Yeah. So when you get like an artist that hasn't played a show for 10 years and then they're like, we're coming back in Vegas at the Sphere, like…
Daft Punk.
Oh! That'd be perfect for Daft Punk.
Wouldn't it?
That'd be crazy. And then see, like, I think the building has that appeal that it's like the international audience… The pool, it's going to, like Vegas is very easy to get to and stay at. There's hotels everywhere. It's not this like random city you have to make. I'm not going to Oklahoma. It's like, yeah, you just go to Vegas and there's going to be six shows there that are run every other week. So I think they're going to have no problem making back their $2.3 billion. And I think that some of the shows that are going to come out of there are going to be crazy. But there's a lot of like, you get a lot of vertigo and sickness in there. It's like a full immersive.
Yeah, right.
Like experience. I think they were saying like for people who are going in the first time, like you have to be really conscious about what you're getting into in a way. You're so high up and it's so immersive that, you sometimes feel sick.
Do you know what they should do? They probably have. They should sell the second tier ticket to people remotely with VR headsets.
And you just sit in there.
You just sit in your living room experiencing what the others are experiencing through because they've got the camera technology.
I think they're already like that's surely going to be the future, right? Because I saw teasers for NBA basketball where you just put on your goggles in your courtside.
That's what we're going to do. We've got to remember to do our TikTok live or YouTube live or whatever live that's of next. This.
Yeah.
Eventually you'll be able to sit here with us in VR.
I'm hoping once we get 1,000 on TikTok, we're at 250. That's when I want to go
share the TikTok to a friend and family member. Everybody, do it for the
live,
for the live.
But on YouTube, it'll be sick as well. I think you'll probably engage some audience that hasn't realized you're back.
Mm.
But yeah, very exciting times in Las Vegas. I think they're about to get an NBA basketball team as well, so they're going hard.
Will you support that team?
No, I'll never change from who I'm with. But I think Lakers. For the same reasons as why I think the Sphere will do well, like the sports teams are going to do great as well, because it's just such a tourist hub.
I reckon when we set up our props here, you're going to obviously have your team's jersey.
Yeah.
I'll have the Lakers.
Oh, don't make me look at that every day. Please, please, please. I don't want to see that.
All right. Katy Perry.
Yeah. Just a bit of point of discussion, because I actually don't know if her catalog, I think it's worth more.
Oh, well, let's start. How much is it worth at the moment? How much did she sell it for?
$225 million.
That's not enough.
That's what I thought. I was like, it's going to just appreciate over time. And she has a few songs that are just going to like
live
forever and continually get synced. And like, how many times on Australian television have you heard her music? Like all the time. There's a lot of songs that she's got that just like, I feel like will live on. And
do you remember or do you know what Taylor Swift's catalog was sold to Scooter Braun's company for?
No idea.
I can't remember.
Is that when she rent and re-recorded all this? Yeah. Nah, Taylor's version. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So in October 2020, Braun sold the masters to the Disney family's investment firm with $405 million.
So would we say…
almost double.
Yeah, $405
million. 80. But like, I know like obviously $225 mil, that's generational wealth. She's sorted.
Okay, so here's an interesting thought about the $225 million. That is of her ownership only. So you think about the other songwriters involved. You think about the other…
Are you saying that other people are getting a cut of this? Or that's just her take?
I don't know. But this is the really interesting thing about the music industry, right? Chief Street and I make a song and we have a vocalist record some lyrics. However, the vocalist didn't write the song. Someone else did.
Mm-hmm.
So there are four parties involved to which only three have intellectual property. The fourth member, even though they could be a feature artist, don't actually have the rights to the composition, which is strange.
Just a performer, right?
They're just a performer, unless they change any of the words or the melody or any of the structure. Then they become entitled to a percentage. There's the rule that we have at the studio here is the Nashville rule, which is however many people are in the room, get a cut, right? So two people, 50-50. That really puts people off when a manager stands in and goes, oh, change this word to this and I want 33%. It's like, no. We've been working on this for months. You know, you can take 1% or 2% or whatever. And there's no right or wrong here. It's just whatever you agree on. It's an agreement at the end of the day. So getting back to Katy Perry, if she is just selling her catalog, and I don't know whether it's the publishing component, like the songwriting component, with I presume it's the master recordings, right? That's her ownership of the recordings.
Right. So you think there's percentages that are unsold or?
Well, I'm just fascinated to know because again, like without having done any research on this, I don't know whether I presume she's selling her catalog.
Yeah, it's the whole, it's everything.
So I presume that means that it's her intellectual property, the songwriting component, not so much the master recording. The record label would own that.
Okay. But she's still out, right? If the record label own it, does that mean she's kind of lost everything or you think she's still got?
So the record label would be recouping mechanical royalties, which is the sale of records. Like, you know, every time you listen on Spotify or you download something from iTunes or you buy a CD, if anybody ever does that anymore, that's a sale of the master recording. That's what the record label makes revenue from. Then the publishing intellectual property is then if someone reuses the song. So if someone does a cover of Katy Perry, they have to acknowledge that she wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if someone prints the sheet music and sells it, that's her intellectual property. But it's not just Katy Perry. It's whoever other people in her team that wrote the song or helped compose the song or the producer, you know, the musicians. So $225 million might be only 1/5 of the whole component. Mm. It could, I don't know. I'm just interested. It's such a complex thing.
Yeah. And I feel like the list of producers involved in these types of songs is probably monstrous as well. Like songwriters, producers.
Look up the credits on Justin Bieber's records.
And they're just There's nine
people involved. Yeah.
And that's what, you know, we've spoken about the teams before and stuff. Like there's so much in the background that people don't get. It's like some people who are gifted enough might be able to go in a room with them and a piano and one other dude and make do Ed Sheeran things, right? Or Charlie Puth. But like for a majority of pop stars, well, I can't talk for everyone, obviously, it's a full team thing.
Usually.
It's like some, like I was watching Dua Lipa's like one of her biggest songs was made with this guy and a songwriter. And then Dua comes in and sings it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's her song, but it's like.
She was the performer, not the original lyricist.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds fabulous with her. She's such an incredible singer. And I'm sure she had some creative involvement along the way, but songwriting is a thing.
It's a team sport. Mm. You just don't often see the team.
Yeah, exactly. One person kind of just takes the glory.
So if Katy Perry is selling a catalog, I'm interested as to whether the catalog's sale includes the other shareholders, for a better word, the other stakeholders. I wonder if that 225 million is a percentage only of hers or whether that's being split amongst all the people. It's, I just don't know.
It almost it sounds like a number that would be just hers. Surely that's not being divided more times. You just wouldn't sell it.
And also,
for that
is this fake news? Like, is that actually accurate? You know, I'm very interested to know.
I saw it plastered around. I have a sense to think that it is legit, but I haven't followed it up.
We'll find out.
Too much.
Stay tuned.
A closer look. But yeah.
There you go.
225 mil. I mean, I'd take it. If someone wants to buy some Chief songs for like a couple mil. That's cool.
Dude, this is the hardest thing ever for artists because, you know, how do you value a song unless it's done really, really well? Well, to which if it's done really, really well, you often have always already relinquished your rights to it. You know, like the number one best-selling songs in the world, you would be interested to know that the record labels and the publishers own that song, not the original artist. Those artists signed a deal probably early days or sold out like what seemingly Katy seems to be doing now. Mm-hmm. So the only ones making a profit from that are the companies.
So if you had like a real indie track that just kind of boomed and you owned it, then you think the artist is winning that way. Otherwise, do you think that the publishers and the record labels that have bought them are kind of pushing them even more?
They have to.
Yeah.
It's a business.
Yeah, but for them, because they know they're getting the return on it, right? They put some extra juice behind it.
Man, it's just stock market. It's the music industry stock market.
Mm.
But you know, we've mentioned this in the first season of the podcast that Spotify, major shares are held by the three major record labels. Mm. So of course, Ariana Grande, Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, Dua Lipa, you know, Sam Smith, they are always going to be the number one top ranked artists on that platform because the record labels that they are signed to also own the majority shares of that platform.
That actually really ties into this quote that I wanted to discuss at some point. And it's from a podcast I listened to called Not Investment Advice, which is awesome. Very funny guys on that discuss some cool tech news and stock and all that stuff. But it's more of like entertainment as well. The quote is from a guy called Jack Butcher, who's like a real big digital artist and creative guy. He actually owns a couple of the biggest NFTs at the moment, which are obviously tanking. So the fact that he's doing really good, like he's actually doing something that has some meaning behind it. Anyway, he said, the people that benefit the most from royalties need it the least.
Interesting.
Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah.
Right? Because like I don't get any royalties, barely. But like Drake probably has gotten paid out for his album that he just dropped like thousands and thousands already. But you think Drake needs more?
When artists make lots of money from royalties, it's usually done through an advance on income.
Okay.
So, a record label offers an emerging artist that's getting huge amounts of attention an advance.
Right.
That figure could be as little as 100,000 or it could be a million or tens of millions, right? That record label now owns the master recordings of that artist and goes and sells it and hopefully pays that advance back and then makes a ton of money. But they would be, in most cases, the major shareholder of the profit. And very little would go to the artist until the advance was paid back, if any at all. Most artists just live off their massive advances.
Right.
Right?
Man, this all gets so confusing so quickly.
Not many artists that aren't established would be living off royalty paychecks.
Yeah.
It's the ones that have almost got to the ends of their careers that are still living off the royalty paychecks because they've paid back the advances.
Mm-hmm.
And those advances aren't always just paid back through royalties. For instance, in my experience, I was paying back my advances in a thing called ancillary income. Every time I sold a t-shirt, every time I made YouTube royalties, every time I played a live show, every time I had a public appearance that would, you know, be paid for by a sponsor or a brand or whatever, a percentage of income from all those activations went back to paying the advance, and then even after the advance was paid off, still continued to pay back the label. The label was making money from everything I did because they gave me the opportunity. They gave me an advance of income. They invested, and, you know, 1 in 100 artists succeed.
Yeah.
The rest don't. So it's a big risk on the record label to constantly be fueling, you know, the careers of artists, mm-hmm. and often they don't get their advance back. But for the 1 in 100 that do,
they get the cheese on top too. That's the killer to me. It's like you paid back the advance and now they're still cut in.
And they're taking a percentage of royalties, which is usually in favor of the record label, not the artist. And then when the artist does get the royalties, they then have to split that. They've got their own tax accounting in their whatever region of the world they're in. They've also got to pay management commission if they've got a manager. And that's an old school method. I don't actually agree with that anymore. I think, well, that's another episode in itself. But just say it's 20% management commission or 10% management commission, or if in some cases 50% management commission. For every dollar you make, let's say $10 you made on a royalty, $8 goes to the record label, $2 goes to the artist. That $2 that gets split between tax, management, all your living expenses, everything else, you're left with enough to buy one can of cat food.
Yeah.
And then you go, yeah, I'm a successful artist. But you drive a Lamborghini because you got paid a fat advance at the start, which makes you show that you're the best artist in the world, but you're actually wildly in debt.
What a weird way to live.
Yeah, and it's an old school method. I think it's dying out.
Yeah, right?
It's dying out.
Yeah, I would rather not own the Lamborghini.
Well, like even Elvis Presley, apparently. I watched a documentary a long time ago. Elvis Presley was just getting houses, cars, all these expenses paid for, everything, but wasn't actually receiving like money. Like life was paid for. And I think either the label or the management was profiting immensely, but they were just sort of keeping him happy, like, oh, here's another Rolls Royce.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. It happens all the time.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you don't have the knowledge of these contracts, which is fair enough, like you need to get heavy lawyers involved if you're going to go down that route. Full on.
It's full on.
Yeah. And it's funny because even though I've been exposed to so much of it since I've been involved with this studio and talking to you and Luke, it's still confusing.
It doesn't have to be. You just have to understand your rights, and your rights are whatever you feel comfortable with. And often, there's a lot of fear in the industry that if you don't sign the dotted line then and there, you're going to miss the deal. And you might, but that's probably a good thing. And we are just so tunnel vision in glorifying what we see as all these people with these magnificent lifestyles and hundreds of millions of dollars and hundreds of millions of fans, and life is just this, it's just a lot of fakery and bullshit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Luke actually said that to me once before and it kind of stuck with me. An agreement is an agreement. All two parties have to do is come together, decide the terms, and agree.
And you can
disagree.
There's
nothing saying like, oh, it's a minimum of 50. It has to be that. Not really.
If a record label says we're going to sign 10 of your tracks, we're going to own you for life,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to pay you 80. No, we'll take 80%. You get 20%. You can go, sorry, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And if they're like, well, in that case, we're not interested. You go, that's fine. Because I can now say to this other record label, hey, I just turned down a deal with massive label X. What can you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
Beat them by 1%. Like, you've got bartering, you've got power, and all the labels know, they all talk to each other, right?
Yeah.
So surely you can play that to your advantage. But yeah, also sometimes, you know, you go get advice and the person giving you advice stitches you.
Mm.
Oh, look, I won't charge you. I'm an entertainment lawyer. I'm a specialist in this. Just give me 20% of the deal. I'll go get the deal. So I've signed you a $1 million deal because I want to take home 200K, but you're stuffed for life, mate. But I got my money.
But thanks, bro.
And I'm not going to answer your emails after this. It happens.
Smooth.
It happens.
Smooth way. I got a question. Are you hungry or are you thirsty?
I'm thirsty, man.
You're thirsty, mate. Okay. Let's have a drink.
Woohoo! Here we go. Cheese Street has gone and grabbed a bag.
We got a Bev. Bev in the house. Give it up for Bev.
Welcome, Bev.
Luckily, Andrew kept these cold for us.
Oh, thanks, Andrew.
Andy. How cool does it look?
It looks
like a little potion, right?
That, or because I am refusing to wear glasses, it looks a little bit like an onion.
Yeah, I can see that, like a sprouting onion. But yeah, like a potion too.
We haven't put the protectant on the couch yet.
I'll take it away from ASMR range.
Got the biggest thing. It's like 4 liters of spray-on protectant.
Let's have a drink and then I'll tell you what's in it. Or, yeah, what type of drink it is.
To your engagement.
Cheers. 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 Thank you. It's not very strong. What do you reckon it is?
Okay. Turnip juice.
No, no turnips. It does come from the ground.
It comes from the ground?
Well, the flavouring. So it's a coffee drink. I mean, you can taste that, right? Pretty weak. But I thought it would have a bit more outstanding flavour because it's black garlic powder infused.
Interesting.
But I don't taste any...
Is that why
any...
it looks like a garlic?
Yeah, I guess that's the look, right?
Look,
so it's not an onion.
This is going to give you the worst breath.
Like old coffee and garlic, yeah. I actually don't taste the garlic enough, which is kind of disappointing. Not as dramatic as the cheese.
Do you remember those, we would have had them in school, little yo-yo chalk yogurts?
Yeah, oh, yogos, yeah.
Yogos, not yeah. yo-yos, yogos.
Yogos, yeah.
This is like a diluted yogurt.
I was hoping to get a bit more shocking flavours. I think next time I go to the shop, I'm going to have to get...
I'll have to test it.
Get some stuff a bit more
I rate
obscure.
It.
Yeah, it's not bad. I think we'll finish that.
And what alcohol would you add to that?
Like Kahlua, right?
Mm. Yeah. I'm not a big drinker.
Yeah, neither, but I think that'd be nice. Or like an Irish whiskey kind of thing.
I rate it.
All right. Well, next time...
Garlic-infused chocolate coffee milk.
Delicious. Not as shocking as the cheese, sadly. I was hoping for a bit more like, yeah.
No Chandra in that one.
What was funny, looking back at the clip from the... Is that cheese?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Is that cheese?
We had a few comments on that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people love the food stuff. It's so easy to watch.
I need to get game on. I need to find some like really crazy foods to bring on
yeah,
the forecast.
Yeah, it's your turn.
DM me on my Instagram, not the forecast one because... Alex will say it. DM me what we should organise to scare Chief Street.
I don't want any yucky stuff. So I'm being nice to you. You got to be nice to me.
Okay. I rate it. Let's get more. Put it in the fridge.
Garlic coffee.
Mm. Yeah. I like some garlic coffee, please.
Cold. We have your refreshment.
Room temperature.
Ew.
Yeah.
With ice.
Bow, bow. Is that a wrap?
Yeah, that's a wrap.
Damn. All right. Season 2. Wow.
Episode 1 in the books.
Oh, we'll be episode 21.
Episode 21.
Wow, almost half a year of podcasting.
I can't believe it. That's because I was, yeah, we shouted out my niece, I think, at one stage and like, she's 7 months now. Like, where the hell was that time gone? I don't understand.
That's right. So we're half a year in
because
we had to.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. 20, 21.
Yeah.
That's half a year almost.
Almost, yeah.
I think once we start reaching like past 50, that's when it's going to get juicy.
So I predict, and I want to come back to this episode. I predict a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying that for a while, but I reckon a year from now, that's when we're going to really see things start to.
Well, it was funny. Even the growth over the 4 weeks that we weren't doing anything, when I go back to the videos on YouTube, I'm like, some of them are picked up. It's like a, once, you know, when it like levels up over time, it take, yep. Yeah, it's all about, you got to let time do its thing.
You do. It's a slow game here, but we appreciate everybody that watches week in, week out. Really liked that people were commenting and sending us messages when we weren't posting, which is great. And we are back in action now. So next week, very exciting episode.
Yeah, finally we got some new guests coming in.
Yep. So the backstory behind these guests is that it was two individual artists that were releasing music individually, like separately on Global League. And Luke and I at the time were like, guys, you're featuring on each other's music so often and remaining separate. Have you thought of becoming a duo?
Mm-hmm.
And they actually thought the idea was fantastic and they became a duo, right? And then they've just gone from strength to strength to strength. They've just, you know, been traveling the world. They're back in Adelaide. They've signed massive deals overseas. They're very much based in the UK now and it's been an absolute pleasure to have them on the episode because we've actually already recorded it. VOE in the house. Stay tuned for that one.
And they're taking over. They're so talented. It's going to be a great episode.
You and I have both done remixes for them.
Yes. What track did you do? I did Witching Hour.
I did Asking For It.
Very early in there.
Very early.
I was thinking, I like went back and listened to it. I was like, I don't think this fits in a set for them anymore, sadly.
They've gone very much into the drum and bass.
Yeah, exactly.
Where Global League released probably more of their electronic pop,
yeah.
Which for us did much better than, because that's a niche, right?
Yeah.
So But no, they're just going from strength to strength. So that's a really exciting interview. Absolutely hilarious. So stay tuned.
Next Tom week. Got me a few times. He was great fun.
Stay tuned for that one. We will see you then.
All right. Catch ya.